Hi there, I'm Greg from Kapow. Visit us at kapow.com to check out our unique collection of everyday reusable products designed to help you do more with less. CUPPOW.com.
This is Chef Emily Peterson, host of Sharp and Hot. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more. I had enough time to dance to the music this time. Thank goodness. Thanks, Jack. You are listening to A Few Things with Claire and Erica. This is a podcast based on our newsletter called 10 Things. We wised up when naming the podcast version. We didn't tie ourselves to a number.
Not locking ourselves in this time. You can sign up for the newsletter at ofakind.com, where you can also buy the pieces and read the stories of emerging fashion and home designers that we feature on the site. And we are so excited to talk to you about something that comes up a lot in 10 Things.
Flowers. All, it comes up all the time in 10 Things. And here's why.
And in life.
And in life. Because to use a term that annoying tech people use all the time, this was an industry ripe for disruption.
Ripe for disruption.
Because when you wanted to send flowers to people before, you were always going to
1-800-Flowers.
Yeah, not to neg them, but they were not the most awesome.
No, and I think, you know, listen, they have their place, but they're was an opportunity for some other people to come in and do some pretty cool stuff.
And not just because they're a website named after a phone number.
And not only for that reason, no.
But hardly. that was maybe one of the many signs that there was room for competitors in the marketplace.
That's right. Okay, so what ones do we like? We like...
Love the Books.
Books.
So Books spelled like bouquet, like a nickname for bouquets.
B-O-U-Q-S.
The Books.
It's one case where you don't have to follow the Q with a U.
That's right.
For one. We really love them. There are a bunch of $40 arrangements available on the site. They send them really smartly packaged. And we, when someone does something nice for us, we sometimes say, book it up.
Book it up. Book's marketing department, you're welcome.
Yeah.
I hope you're listening. But we do really love them. Part of what's so wonderful about them is they're so easy, and they use FedEx, and they tell you exactly when it's going to be delivered, and they package it in such a way that if the person, you know, FedEx drops it off at 10 a.m. and the person doesn't get there until 5 or 6, I've been told by multiple people, like, oh, I didn't get it all day, and it sat out in the hot sun, and I thought they were going to be ruined, but they weren't, because they package these in a really smart way.
Speaking of packaging, Bloom That is another sort of newcomer to the space. And they, when we have gotten flowers from them, package them in these really beautiful, like, brown craft cones.
Yeah.
Cones.
Yes.
That keeps them very safe and protected. Very smart.
Similarly, the Sill has the same kind of vibe as all these people. They'll tell you exactly when they're going to deliver it. They'll ship it anywhere in the country. But the Sill specializes in plants, which feels really special, because sending people flowers feels like an ephemeral thing. You know, they'll have it for a week, but they will ship succulents and, like, trees.
Yeah. The hot tip from them is to order the mini succulent collection. In case you're not sick of succulents, and I'm not going to be for a while, I don't think. You can get this little adorable collection of succulents in these tiny baby pots. And it's $40 for the whole little set, which just feels like a great present for, you know, like a housewarming you couldn't make it to, or something where you just want to be extra nice.
And there's all of these services popping up sort of locally in various cities too, where people deliver flowers on bikes. I first heard about this from our friend in San Francisco, Courtney Klein, who was like, this is all the rage in San Francisco, is these flower delivery services by bike.
Yes.
And the one in New York that does such a beautiful job is Petal by Petal. Get it? It's a punny name.
Yeah. Good one.
They just do the most beautiful arrangements that you feel like, how can I not Instagram this right now?
The other local joint that I am really big into is really near my apartment, called Park Deli.
They're awesome.
It is a combination florist / skate shop, and I do not think I think it is the only combination / florist / skate shop in the world. I don't know.
It's like the Pizza Hut Taco Bell of the florist world.
Yes, it is awesome. They just put together these really, really thoughtful and beautiful arrangements that are on view next to skateboards and cans of spray paint. And something that they do that I think is really smart is they sell some of their bouquets in these spray painted tin cans.
Yeah, they're like soup cans.
They're soup cans. Yeah. They're just really awesome looking. They do them in bright poppy colors. And it just feels like a nice, smart home hack if you want to get into a vase situation that isn't a vase.
Totally. And I think, and you had mentioned that somebody had a tip about using San Marzano tomato cans, which are so pretty.
Yes.
Leave the wrapping right on there.
Yeah, so basically really in this October issue of Bon Appetit, they do a little thing on flowers, and the editor-in-chief's wife is a florist, and she loves to put sunflowers in a San Marzano can, it just feels really cool. Yeah,
cool.
Super.
Yeah.
I feel like I've also seen it done with bean cans and things at restaurants where it just looks really special.
It made me start thinking about all of the cans that I love. Like, there, I can't remember the name of the olives that has the most graphic
poppy can,
and it has the hand with the olives on.
Oh,
the
yeah.
And it's such a good can design, and I love it. And all I can do is Instagram it to proclaim my love of it. But why not make it a vase?
Doesn't that feel like the most awesome dinner party centerpiece situation 100%. To do like four or five cans with different flowers in them?
I love it. All the different varieties of olives,
or everything that you use to make dinner.
Ugh.
Done.
God.
D-U-N, done.
This is why I started a business with you. You're so good at these things.
Okay, genius. So what are we putting in the vases, flower-wise? Okay.
I feel like baby's breath gets a really bad rap, and
you love a baby's breath.
I love baby's breath, and I think it starts to get into a dangerous territory if you are mixing it with other flowers, like a carnation, for example.
For sure. I have been known to pick baby's breath out of a bouquet before.
That is fine. I think where baby's breath really shines is on its own.
Yeah.
I think a giant cluster of baby's breath is absolutely stunning, or a little tiny bit of baby's breath in a bud vase is really beautiful and dainty and wonderful and just neutral in a way that I love.
Related, the sort of like bigger version in my mind of baby's breath is Queen Anne's lace. It has that same effect.
Yes.
But it's a little bit more bold.
Yes. Our friend Taylor Patterson is a big proponent of Queen Anne's lace, and she is she's like the fashion's florist right now. She's
for
super
sure.
hot florist. She's crazy talented.
She has a business called Fox Fodder Farm, and you should at the very least follow her on Instagram, because it will just make your day happier.
It really will. She's really talented florist who grew up on a farm in Delaware right near my hometown, and she just really knows her stuff. And she gave us a couple of tips on how to keep flowers alive. And my favorite thing that she said is, like, basically serve them a little cocktail, vodka tonic.
Yes.
And she didn't explicitly say you should always give them vodka or give them tonic, but the idea here is that you're trying to keep bacteria at bay, because that's the thing that kills flowers, cut flowers the fastest. So a little bit of alcohol, like vodka, for example,
will vodka help. Or bleach, basically, helps to keep the bacteria away.
And then sugar also helps. I don't know if that's a bacteria thing or just like a thriving nutrition thing.
Yeah, I don't either.
But she did say that like a little bit of Sprite or a little bit of tonic could help.
But clearly it's the vodka tonic idea that really stuck with
For me, it's just about give your flowers a cocktail, because who doesn't perk up a little bit after a cocktail?
Apartment Therapy ran this seemingly very thorough test of how to make your flowers last longer. And they tested, I think, five different methods. And the one that won out was basically putting your flowers in the refrigerator every night. That felt like a lot of commitment for me. But the runner up was putting a penny in the bottom of the vase, which felt like the perfect amount of commitment to me, because that is easy.
That is really
that is
if you're someone who actually hangs on to pennies. But
I think there's definitely some pennies lying around your apartment
100%.
somewhere. Yeah, so that seems like a very quick and easy fix. And we actually have a story coming out from Jeet Sohal, who is the designer behind this amazing jewelry and handbag line in LA, Bear Collection, because she's really big about putting together bouquets from her garden. Mm-hmm. And she talks about, for her, it's really just about trimming the stems and changing the water every day, and your mind will be blown at how long your flowers last. Like,
and my
two
mind
weeks.
Would be blown if I actually ever did that.
Yeah,
I would never.
Totally.
I would never have that amount of discipline. But the thing she did say that I 100% am on board with, and is like, we share this philosophy, is don't try to do what professional florists are doing if you're making your own arrangements. And the quickest way to make a at-home arrangement look good is to stick with monochrome. And I would do all the same color, but I would take it even one step further and say, just stick with the same type of flower and do a lot of them. So I really like a whole bunch of tulips, and that just looks really awesome. And that was the attitude I took for my wedding, because I didn't want to spend a lot of money on floral arrangements, because I knew that if I decided to really go for it, I would only be able to go really big. So I was like, you know what, I love peonies, let's just do a crap ton of peonies and all bunch together, they'll look great.
Yeah. Jeet is a big fan of both calla lilies and Birds of Paradise. One, because of how awesome they look. And amazing. Two, they also just last a really long time, turns
good
out, which
know.
Is good to know. I also think that if you are not good at arranging flowers or like aren't confident about it, I love a little bud vase with just one stem, because
yes.
really okay. that there's nothing you can do wrong there.
No.
And a short vase with short stems, it's harder
Agreed.
To screw up too if you sort of bunch them together so that they're just peeking out the top.
This is my other little at-home floristing thing that I constantly try to teach my husband, is to just like cut the flowers down quite a bit.
So way more than you think you
way
should.
Way more than you think. There shouldn't really be a lot of stem coming
yep.
up over the lip of the vase.
That's right.
Because that looks a little bit wonky. Unless it's like, I don't know, like cherry blossoms or something.
And you want them to sort of, or you want something
that.
To sort of like,
yeah.
sometimes a tulip looks sort of pretty
yes,
dangling out
agreed.
Of the vase.
But for the most part, it's going to look nicer if you cut them down so that the bud is right by the lip of the vase, because
yeah.
it looks all bunched in there and like you got a lot and just
lush.
Yes, it looks lush.
Yeah. All right.
We're going to cut to break. We don't even know if there's going to be a commercial or a song or what. Jack's just like throwing things at us. We don't know. Jack, take it away.
I dreamt I was in the
And welcome back to A Few Things with Claire and Erica, where we talk about all the things we love. And one of the things we love is sitting here in the studio with us today. And her name is Caroline Hurley.
Yay!
She has a really freaking fantastic home line called Caroline Z. Hurley. And she is sort of the perfect example of a designer that we just really like pee our pants with excitement over, both because we are...
Perfect example of a pee your pants designer.
Exactly. Because she, one, has a really clear understanding of her aesthetic and her line and does beautiful, beautiful work that is talented. But she also is a really smart business person. And we really love the way she thinks about her business. And one of the really phenomenal things that she's done is effectively started her own factory in New Bedford, Massachusetts. And we obviously think about production and responsible production all the time and the very complicated issue of what it means to be made in America. We are a business based in New York, and there's always a lot of conversation about getting New York back to being a manufacturing town and whether that should happen
right.
and all of that.
And how to think about
it. Yeah, and how to think about it. And I think Eric and I talk all the time about we love the idea of getting New York back to being a manufacturing town, but the fact of the matter is it's very expensive. And for us as retailers, we want our products to be accessible. We want people to not have to think, forever about, can I spend, my entire salary on them? And making things in New York is an expensive thing.
Well, and there are also many, many, many regions of this country that could use jobs. This could be an interesting way to help with that problem as well. So Caroline makes these amazing block. She started with, her line has expanded a lot, but she makes amazing block printed throws and napkins and pillows. She just released a cork trivet and coaster set for us on the site that we are obsessed with.
That's amazing.
That you should go buy probably right now while you're listening to Caroline.
Yeah.
So Caroline, in the beginning, you were doing all of the production yourself with the help of like an assistant or an intern.
That's
when
correct.
It made sense.
Yeah. So I actually didn't know I was starting a business when I started a business. I was sort of making things in my studio. I'm a painter. And
yes.
And once I started making these block printed things after I had come back from a really inspiring trip in Bali, I realized that there was people wanted them. So I slowly started making them for friends and family, and then stores started to ask for them, and it sort of spiraled into this thing, and I was like, oh, I guess I'm starting a business now.
Which I think is an experience that a lot of the designers that we work with have had, by the way.
You're
not alone in that.
And I think that's the best way to do it, honestly. Like, I really think that if you're doing something that you love and then people love it, it just feels more
It came
organic.
Very naturally.
Yeah. So yeah, I did hire a couple of different assistants to help me with the production. And then my first big order came where I was like, there's no way that yeah. me and an assistant can produce 500 units.
Like, this is also a really common sort of trope of the designer right? bio where you're like, and you're then like, I had awesome. This really exciting thing. And then I was like, shit,
yeah.
how do I actually achieve that?
How do I do this?
Yeah.
I mean, and so previously, before this order came, I had actually gone to India to research how to produce through that. Mm-hmm. You know, that sort of factory way with one of my friends, John Robshaw. And I realized quickly that it just wasn't the story that I wanted to tell. Hmm. I feel like everyone does that, right? Yeah. Where you like make a product and then you go to India and you produce it. I wanted my story to be different, and I knew that after India. So I did other kinds of research to figure out how to produce in an interesting way. So that
I was just get a motion to Caroline. Sorry, maybe you haven't the mic.
Maybe you haven't been hearing me.
No, she's time. They've heard no, all yeah, of it. Yeah. You probably okay. just sounded far away.
Okay. So anyway, I did do research, and I ended up hiring someone who helped me figure out and connect me to these people in New Bedford, which is what my whole business started on. Without them, I would be nowhere. They produce everything for me, and they have nailed it so far.
And who
far.
Are the people there doing it?
Okay, so they're a group of Guatemalans, mm-hmm. And there are six of them.
Okay.
And they have just these amazing techniques with their hands. They're weavers, and there's like a whole long history of why they landed in New Bedford. But I happened upon them, and I saw their technique, and I saw how good they were with their hands, and I just knew immediately after meeting with a bunch of different people. I went to like co-ops in Queens, and like I did a lot of online research, and I had someone helping me with research as well. And I just knew, and I'm always guided by my instincts, I just knew that it was the right match.
What were they doing before you set them up with your business?
Well, so Olivia, our head print mm-hmm. master, she was basically like babysitting all day because okay. there are no jobs in New Bedford. And she's a master weaver. She's so good with her hands. And she showed us all of this work that she did when I first got there. But she was essentially like running a like tiny daycare out of mm-hmm. her apartment with like five kids running around. She had a baby strapped to her back. Like literally oh my when goodness. I was training them how to block print, she had a baby on her front and like was also holding another baby.
That's amazing. Like,
wait, a baby on her back and then holding a baby.
Can you talk a little bit about the history of New Bedford with production? Because this is not yeah. the first time that people
yeah,
have been
it's
producing
part of the
there.
Reason why I love that whole story is because yeah. there is such a rich history there. So New Bedford was colonized in 1657 or something, super old town. It's a whaling town. That's when it oh, like wow. it has its roots in whaling because it has a really deep port in New Bedford. And because of the whaling industry, it brought on this amazing amount of wealth. Mm-hmm. It was called the Golden City at one point.
Huh.
And because of that wealth coming in, they started to also think of other industries. So at a certain point, I think it was like late 1800s, it had developed into this like amazing like golden city right. with like 32 cotton manufacturing and, wow. And like mills with like massive amounts of employees. There was something like 30,000 employees by 1880 or something. I think at the end of the 1800s was sort of the decline of the cotton industry mm-hmm. for two reasons. One, because of the gold rush, and two, because of the Great Depression.
Right.
So all of these factories are, I'm not kidding you, mm-hmm. still in existence in wow. New Bedford. Like, actually, like, time
intact.
Has stood still. Like, there are still factories with the machinery inside of them, like nothing has happened.
Well, one of the factories, and we'll link to this article, but there's an amazing story about how the original Madewell was
yeah,
a thriving
exactly.
workwear factory in New Bedford,
right.
Massachusetts,
yeah.
and the guy who started the Madewell that we all know and love right. now was licensed for like a dollar the name Madewell
right.
and just started a new company
right.
sort of inspired by this workwear right. company, but it has nothing to do with the original Madewell, which made workwear in New
right,
Bedford,
right. I remember reading
yeah.
that article as well. Yeah, it's a really interesting.
So you're
place.
bringing New Bedford back to its roots in your own little way.
Yeah, I mean, that is like my dream is to yeah. bring New Bedford back. I mean, it definitely has a lot of stumbling blocks. It's a high crime city. There's a mm-hmm. lot of drugs there, drug trafficking, and it has a long way to go. But I just see so much potential there, and even through my brand and you know, hopefully employing more and more people and getting a bigger space and maybe even someday, who knows? I mean, I actually don't like the term factory, but like I do like the idea of all of my people working together.
But you have actually made me think about factory in a different way, because I remember the first time you told me, well, I opened a factory in New Bedford, and I thought, wow, that's kind of amazing. And I pictured
factory also feels like a big word.
Right.
For some reason.
It's totally not.
But then I learned what you were really doing. And it was like you were teaching all of these people to black print. And I saw pictures of these people.
It's like a production house.
It's a production house. And on my website, you can see a very specific video. It's like literally like it's so crafty. You know, it's like paper and pencils and brushes. And, you know, it's like.
So can we talk about logistics for a second?
Yes.
Like, how far away is New Bedford? How hard is it for you to get there? And how do you work with people who aren't in the same space as you?
Totally. Well, it's the easiest thing in the world because of one great thing called Google Docs. So
we live and die by Google Docs.
It is, it's super easy to get to. It's 4 hours by car. Okay. And I don't have to go there that often anymore because of Google Docs, basically. So we have a system in place where each style has a template, and a template is basically like a piece of Mylar paper with holes cut out where they place the stamp, and each stamp has a number. So in the Google Doc, when we get an order, we fill out the Google Doc, we send it over to them, and then they also are our distribution center as well. So have UPS labels embedded into the Google Doc system. So it's like a thing. Like it's without that, like.
So most of your business really is there
in New Bedford. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I'm moving studios, and I realize like I don't have a lot of stuff here because it's all in New Bedford, which is great. Like,
yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
How did it feel to take the production out of your hands and give it to other people? Was that scary for you? Was that weird for you?
No, I love that. I feel like as a painter, I kind of want to do one thing and like never do it again.
You want to make your piece and then send it away.
So it's like when I was doing multiple runs, like 50 units of whatever, I would do it in my studio, and that was like fun and novel. But now I'm like, I have no problem passing this off to you. Like you're better
because you've
at it
created
than I am.
It and you don't want to have to do it over and over again. You're like, I already came up with that piece of art.
And also like they're just better now. That like they're actually a better block printers than I am. So
tell me a little bit. I have a question about these Mylar templates.
Yeah.
Are you shipping them to them, or these are like a printout from Google Docs?
No, they are. I'm shipping them to them.
Okay, so you make them here in New York City, and then you ship them to them.
That's correct.
And then you enter in the Google Doc. Here's the order we have. Use XYZ template. Use this color. Go.
Right.
And then they ship it out from there.
Yep.
That's incredible.
I know.
That
it's
is just
like,
a
it's
whole...
made my life so much better. Like, I have so much freedom now to create more products, to work with more artisans, to like, I mean, that system that I've created in New Bedford is basically what I want to do in Mexico and also with other people.
Because
that
you've expanded your line to include different types of products.
Yeah, so we're doing woven goods now and ceramics and things like that. So it's just such an easy way to live your life. And I'm like all about having free time and traveling and like I just want to make it be as simple as possible. And this system
streamline that.
Totally.
That's amazing.
How core is Made in America to your business, or how do you think about it?
It's not core to my business.
Yeah.
I think what is core to my business is like working with individuals. Like,
yes.
As opposed to, I just never want to work with a factory. And that's what I realized when I went to India is like, I just want to talk to someone who's making my thing. So we're making these quilts in New Jersey right now with a group of quilters, and I just love the fact that I can call this woman, this sweet woman, her name is Madhu, on the phone, and I can be like, hey, Madhu, like, so I was thinking, like, I kind of want to use this fabric instead, and she's like, yeah, we'll try that. Like, there's such a relationship that I've developed with all of my people, and even in Guatemala, it's a relationship. Yeah. Like, I email them, we WhatsApp, you know, like, I love the idea of, like, collaborating with these artisans as opposed to just employing them. And a lot of times they have better ideas.
Totally.
Because they're like, oh, actually, you can use this thread this way, you know?
Well, and these, you know, the women that you're working with in New Jersey who are quilting, they probably have more experience with
totally,
quilting than you do.
I was like, do you think we should do rounded quarters or straight corners? And she was like, oh, yes, definitely straight. I was like, okay, I'm going to trust you on this one. But she knows, you know?
Yeah,
she's been doing it for like 20 years.
Well, and I just love what you said. I got chills when you said it's not a about being made in America. It's being made with humans.
Yeah, totally.
It's like a made by people.
Yes, and I think that is so core to Of a Kind too. And we love Made in America. We love, you know, there's so much to love about the idea of things being made here in the country where we live.
It's easier and all
that. And, you know, and of course we have certain environmental protections in place and we know certain standards, but there's also so many talented people worth exploring and supporting all across the world. And for us, that's ultimately the most important thing. Are the people who are making this thing talented? Are they enjoying their work? Are they being treated right? Are they doing it in a responsible and sustainable way?
That's a huge thing for me too.
And I think the Made in America movement is fantastic, and there's so much to love and support about it, but it doesn't mean that things made outside of America are bad or problematic, because there's so much to love about that too. And when you're going and sort of like discovering through your travels these artisans in Mexico whose work you love, and you're bringing it back here and saying and sharing it with us and saying like, hey, look at what they're doing down there, that is awesome, and there's so much to love about that. And it is about the human element.
And I think the more you learn about production, the more you realize that Made in America can mean so many different things, and that Made in China can mean so many different things, and that it's really just understanding the production in place and trusting and the people that you're buying from, or the people who are running the companies that you're supporting, have the same ethos as you about
totally
this.
and that is like I think the consistent thing, Caroline, with all of these new sort of we'll call them production houses that you are trying to create, is that they're always evolving from you meeting these people and you going on these vacations and these trips and discover and saying like, oh my gosh, I love this person, I want to work with them. And that's what we love about our job too, in a albeit modified way, but and that's what makes it so satisfying to like consume your product.
Totally. And like the grand, like the broad spectrum, it is about people, and it's about like giving and loving. And like, I really believe that's what's going to guide me in my company for sure. It's just the best thing.
Thank you so much for coming on. Everybody should check out Caroline's.
Thank you for having me. It was so fun.
Everybody should check out Caroline's work if they're not doing that already in the background while they're listening.
Oh my gosh. It's Caroline Z. Hurley is the name of her line. She, emailed us like years ago with these macaroni necklaces that she was doing at the time, and I was like, yes, I want those. Wait. And now we have done so many pieces with her. None of them have been macaroni necklaces.
I should be thanking you guys so hardcore, because you basically launched my business.
That's really kind and not true. You launched your own business.
I mean, like, you were my first like thing.
We were excited to be your first thing. Yeah. Tell you what.
Yeah, it was an honor for us. We love, love, love your line and your aesthetic and your work, and wish that we're so excited for it to expand, and so that our entire homes can be made by you and your collaborators.
Thank you, guys.
We have more on the topic of Caroline's work in New Bedford on ofakind.com. We'll link back to that in our recap as well, including the video that Caroline has on her site of everything in action.
Yeah, the entire production facility.
Yeah, and while you're on the website checking that out, sign up for our newsletter. Our 10 Things newsletter comes every Monday, and listen to our podcast every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern time here on Heritage Radio Network or
iTunes or Stitcher.
Hey!
Everybody loves iTunes and Stitcher.
Hey.
And listen to everything else that Heritage Radio Network does. We love them. We love you.
They're the greatest.
That's the show.
That's the show.
Bye.
Fun. Bye, guys.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.